Florida's jury system may get scrutiny from lawmakers during the 2014 legislative session. There are questions about how many people should comprise one, especially in cases where capital punishment is an option. But what about the composition of juries? Is anyone qualified to sit on one? Does Florida's system make it easier for lawyers to manipulate the outcome of cases? Those will be among our topics tonight on this edition of It's About Florida. For the next half hour, we'll take your calls and tweets, and we'll talk with Panama City State Attorney Glenn Hess about what issues legislators should address and what lawyers should mind. Stay with us. Good evening, I'm Stan Jastrzebski. This is It's About Florida. We're glad you are with us. We'd love to have your telephone calls during our next half hour. If you're near our Tallahassee studios, please call us at 414-1234. We've also got a toll-free number available to you from anywhere. That's 1-800-926-8809. If you're near your computer or your mobile device and you'd like to tweet a question to us, you can direct that tweet at WFSU News, and we will be sure to look for it there. As I said, my guest tonight, Panama City State Attorney Glenn Hess. Good to have you here.
Well, thank you for having me.
And glad you could come over. And I think this is a very important topic that is going to, like I said, is possibly going to get addressed in the legislative session. And I wanted to go through with you, someone who served as a state attorney, as a judge, as a private lawyer in practice, talk to you about the way the jury system is going in this state and whether there are going to be or whether there should be any changes. And let me start with kind of the big issue that's going to be the 800-pound gorilla in the room, and that has to do – and I'll try to deal with this somewhat delicately because it was somewhat controversial this summer when the George Zimmerman jury was – let's face it, six white women on it, and that's about as little diversity as you can get on a jury. And I want to know about something that you were telling me before we even went on air. You said one of the things you advise the people in your office to do is not have monolithic juries. And I thought that was an interesting concept, and I wanted the people at home to get to hear what you had to say about that.
I think that getting a broader spectrum in the jury box, it serves for better deliberations and better decision making. As I pointed out to you, my wife particularly is a detail lady. And female juries, I've noticed, spend a lot of time deliberating because they go over every detail. Conversely, men are not so much the same. We go into Sears, we buy jeans, and we come out. And so their decisions of monolithic male jury is usually reached quicker. I think the blending of the two gives you a better solution or a better answer to the question.
So let's talk about a couple of issues that lie therein. The first is the idea of in Florida, it's different than a lot of other states. You can have six people on a jury. Most other states have double that number. You almost always in other states impanel 12 and then another two alternates, and so you're actually picking 14 people. So Florida, in some cases, especially cases that I think some people would say might need more jurors, only have six. What is your personal view on that idea of 6v12? Is one particularly better than the other for any given reason, do you think?
Well, in Florida, capital cases have 12 jurors. All other felony cases, all other cases have six. Having been on the bench for 13 years, I really can't see that there is a better quality decision made by 12 than by six. What you have to be concerned about, though, is particularly as a prosecutor, when you have 12 jurors, the chance of finding that one that will hang the jury is much greater.
Which is what you were telling me before the show the defense lawyer is looking for.
Sure. Defense lawyer is trying to keep his client from being convicted. A hung jury is no conviction, and he's done his job. The prosecutor, on the other hand, is trying to find a group of people who will agree. Maybe not guilty as charged, but at least we'll reach a resolution of the case. It's easier to find six people that will agree than 12. And you double the chances of having that one againer when you double the size of the jury.
And it's obviously more easy to have a homogeneous group of six people than 12 people. But let me ask another question about that before I get to our first phone call. If you've got 12 people it would seem like it's easier to represent the broad spectrum of people, the quote-unquote jury of your peers that's written out in the Constitution, than with just six people. You could have a broader idea spectrum. You can have people who have different life experiences. Would that change the outcome of a case because you have more different knowledge, different experiences that these larger group of people would draw on?
Abstractly, you might think so. But the way the actual system works, you can't be sure that you're going to get that broad spectrum. We're talking about peremptory challenges and the way the juries are stricken. You know, sometimes you'll get a great jury pool. Sometimes you won't. Sometimes you'll get a diverse jury pool. Sometimes you won't. In civil cases, that's particularly true. Sometimes you'll see a panel come in and it's more mature panel. You will find that a mature panel is less likely to give a large verdict than a younger panel. And there's nothing that can be done about it. That person has one day in court. They just happen to draw a mature panel.
I want to go to the phones for our first question. We have Don on the line from Tallahassee. Don, good evening. Thanks for being on It's About Florida.
Thank you. I was wanting to follow up on that very point. The more jurors you have, it's like taking a poll. The more people you sample, the more reliable the poll. The more jurors, the less random is going to be the result. So if you have 12 jurors, then you're going to get, if you tried the case 10 times, you'd have a very similar result in all 12. If you only have six, you might get an extreme result here, an extreme result there, depending on the makeup. So, you know, there's a trade-off to be made.
So your argument sounds like you're looking at the polling idea of margin of error, more or less.
Exactly. And if you're trying to get the right result, then the more jurors, the more likely you are to get a consistent result. The other factor is that in most every case, there are alternate jurors that are selected. They sit there the whole trial. In federal court, those jurors go back and deliberate. In state court, we send them home, which seems a waste. That way you'd at least have eight jurors, which would be a better, you know, a less random decision-making process than six. So that would be an inexpensive way to tweak the system and make it a little bit more consistent is just to let the alternates deliberate.
All right. Well, thanks, Donna. And Glenn, let me ask you about that idea of the margin of error point of view that Donna is bringing to this. Is there, in your mind, validity to that?
Well, he's talking about random polling. That's not what a jury does. A jury is supposed to sit there and listen to the facts and law from the judge and make a decision based on what they've heard and what the judge tells them. Now, certainly life experience has a way in which they receive that evidence and how they process it. But we're not talking about random polling. You know, just put it this way. If 2 and 2 is 4, it doesn't take 6, doesn't take 12. It should be 4, you see. And so I haven't seen a large difference in having a 12-member jury or a 6-member jury. I have seen that there is a greater possibility for having a lesser included verdict with a 12-member jury, more of a chance of having a hung jury. But overall, I think the quality of the system doesn't change that much.
And I guess we should point out that at no point are we talking about a random grouping of people too, because you have lawyers on both sides who are allowed to strike jurors and eventually either have a certain number of strikes to where they can get rid of certain people or in some cases just come to more or less an agreement of this is the pool of people who are going to hear this case and the lawyers have to kind of game plan how they're going to do that. And so it's not just these are the people we're stuck with. It's these are the people we're stuck with minus a couple of people.
There is certainly gamesmanship in seeing who they can get on the front row of the jury panel. But don't forget, they're not allowed to strike for race or gender. They have to have reasons.
I want to go back to the phone lines. We have Jacqueline on the phone from Tallahassee. Jacqueline, good evening to you. Thanks for being on It's About Florida.
Yes, good evening. My question would be, I work in an office, and on several occasions, there have been 5 or 6 people called multiple times to be a juror. And I was just wondering about the accuracy of a pool, and if one person, if they've been selected once in a year, Is there any, like, plans to have them taken out of the pool so that there is more apt to have different types of people pooled?
That's a good question. Thanks for that.
Well, talking about random selection, there was a time when we just used voter pool, the voter polls. That gave you a very confined group. We went to driver's licenses. That expanded the pool of potential jurors tremendously. So I think that we've expanded the possibilities. But what you have to remember also is if you're called for jury duty, you have an exemption for 1 year. You shouldn't be called twice in the same year.
A reminder that you can call us this evening at 414-1234, or you can dial us toll-free at 1-800-926-8809 and send those tweets to at WFSU News, and we will find those tweets there as well. I was thinking today about the idea of a six-person versus a 12-person jury, and I was trying to come at it from both sides, as I often do, because I love kind of playing the game theory side of it in my own head. And I thought, well, all right. A six-person jury might cost less, for instance, than a 12-person jury, especially if you end up having to sequester these people and pay for food and pay for hotel rooms and pay for daily per diems of their being a juror. Do you suppose there was ever any consideration of, hey, six is cheaper than 12, especially if we have long, drawn-out cases? Or do you think that just was not actually a consideration in determining how the system worked?
Well, I'm proud to say I wasn't around when that decision was made. However, a lot of people approach jury service with some trepidation, fearing that they'll be sequestered. Very few jurors are sequestered. When it comes to cost, actually, you know, you would have to double your jury pool, and then you would have to take longer to select the juries. And that's the thing. In most jurisdictions I've been in, juries are selected on Monday. Trials are Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We get through four or five juries in a day, juror pools in a day. If you had to pick 12 for each of those, we might have jury selection into Tuesday. It might cut down on the number of trial hours that could be applied to actually trying the case.
You were talking earlier about the idea of having all men or all women on a jury panel. I wondered also in terms of 6 v. 12, do you suppose – let's assume you've got you get away from, as you say, a monolithic jury pool. You've got a good composition of people who represent lots of ages, genders, racial backgrounds on both a six-person and a 12-person pool that's going to try the same case. Is it possible that you could say that a 12-person jury would have a more deliberative process just because you have more people to offer different opinions, different views of how the law might be applied to that case?
You're assuming that because you have 12 jurors, it's going to be a broader spectrum. Remember, those lawyers have peremptory challenges and they know what kind of juror they're looking at and they're trying to get that panel. They're not looking for a broad spectrum. They're looking for certain qualifications or certain characteristics in that jury pool. And their job in jury selection is to try to get those people seated that meet their characteristics for that case.
So let me ask you about that then. Is this an issue that's not just being dealt with in Florida but is in fact being dealt with everywhere, that it's a long-standing idea of how juries are put together? And that is one thing that having reported on trials in multiple states I have seen as a reporter is this is a process that's very, very – has a lot of sameness from one state to another. Is the process itself in need of some sort of reform, and is it waiting for – a state, perhaps Florida, to come to the conclusion that, all right, we are not necessarily empaneling the best juries we can. We are instead empaneling juries just to try to make our side have an advantage when in reality it should be the law that has the advantage and the law should be applied as evenly as possible across all cases.
Well, I told you earlier, the law is really a function of history. And so we have a process here in Florida that has served us well. And at this point, I haven't heard anybody really point to a large problem with the number of jurors. You say, well, other states have 12, but has there been a problem here in Florida and can you show me a case? Can you show me two cases?
Well, there are people who are pointing to the Zimmerman case.
All right, the Zimmerman case. A lot of people are pointing to the Zimmerman case, but the problem with the Zimmerman case is that the news media have reported it one way, and what happened in the courtroom apparently happened another way. Casey Anthony, let's go to that case. Everyone just knew that she was guilty. Nancy Gray said so. That jury came back not guilty for one reason. The evidence in the courtroom didn't support a conviction. Go back to the Zimmerman case. That wasn't a stand your ground case. It was really a self-defense case. Those jurors, they listened to what the judge said about the defense. They listened to the evidence, and they reached a unanimous verdict. I'm not sure it would have changed if you had 12 jurors. I mean, six people agreed on that verdict.
Let's go back to the telephones. We have Bob on the line from Tallahassee. Bob, good evening to you. Thanks for calling in to It's About Florida.
Yeah. I'm on my cell phone, so I may not be able to hear you. I'm pretty sure you can hear me. The thing that I wanted to throw into the mix is I've been called for jury a number of times. I think it's an honor. I really think it's everything ought to do it. Two or three judges I've been before make a real good case. Often they're sort of apologetic. I think they ought to tell everybody what a good thing it is to be there. However, the thing that I wanted to bring to your attention in the former judges, or I guess you don't be a former judge, you're always a judge, the business of getting impaneled, then go sit someplace for hours, and the meanwhile, the lawyers in the back room someplace trying a last-minute deal that they can work out. Now, I don't know how you could fix that and be fair to everybody, but not trying to fix it, I think erodes the attitude towards serving as a juror when you know that you've been called to make a decision, but before you make the decision, we are going to push this thing. These two lawyers are going to push this thing just as far as they can, and somebody's going to back down and not go to court.
That's a good question, Bob. Thanks for that. And I think his point is, can we avoid wasting jurors' time? And I guess it sounds like Bob feels like his time as a juror might have been better spent.
I understand what he's saying, and it goes way back. But those judges who are on the criminal bench regularly, they have a plea cutoff. And the plea cutoff is long before the day the jurors come in. When the jurors come in, they ask for any last-minute motions. They bring the panel in and they begin. The way you keep jurors from having their time wasted, you make those lawyers resolve the case, the pretrial, or we're going to trial. For example, when I was on the bench, if I said, okay, you have until pretrial to plead this case out. If you don't plead it at pretrial, you're going to trial or you're pleading straight up, take your chances with me. And that will cut down on a lot of that wasted time for jurors. And, you know, he pointed one thing. There are some people who they get called four and five times for jury duty during their lifetime. Others never get called. I don't know how that happens. It just does.
It's like some people winning the lottery more than once in their life, I guess. You're listening to It's About Florida on WFSU. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Please do call us. We have just a few more minutes where you can get your phone calls in for Panama City State Attorney Glenn Hess. Our telephone number is 414-1234 and 1-800-926-8809. You can also tweet at WFSU News if you'd like to send in your question electronically. Let me ask, going back to what might happen in the legislative session coming up early next year, should the legislature require juries in Florida always to render unanimous decisions? Is that something that's useful?
Well, as far as guilt or innocence, they have to render a unanimous decision. The question becomes, on a death penalty cases, should they be required to have a 12-0 vote? At the time that the last legislative session was in, I did a review of all the cases in our circuit since 1976. There have only been a couple that were unanimous. Let me give you an example of a case that shows the problem with getting unanimous. I tried a case last February. A man kidnapped a lady, a young lady, took her to his trailer, had her there all night. He then taped her mouth, taped her legs, bound her, threw her in the trunk of the car, drove her to Alabama. She was still alive in the trunk, and he burned the car. That was heinous, atrocious, cruel, terrible, terrible, terrible. You would think the death penalty was appropriate in that case. Yet we had a 9-3 vote. Three jurors just couldn't vote yes for the death penalty for something as horrible as that. And so there's the problem.
Well, all right. So clearly Florida is a death penalty state, and clearly you bring up fairly, I think, that there are people who have differing opinions on the death penalty. But isn't there an argument to be made? If you're dealing with someone's life and your job as a juror is to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that they are guilty and then decide on a criminal penalty for that, is there not a reason to think we need to be absolutely 100% sure if we are going to end somebody's life?
The interesting thing about Florida is the jury does not cause the sentence. The jury just recommends to the judge what they think the sentence would be. The buck stops with the judge. Florida death penalty law is very broad and it's very deep. The jurors have no way of knowing all the cases and all the rules. They make their decision. They advise the judge. The judge has to make a decision based on not only that recommendation, what he heard in the courtroom, plus all the learning that he's done on death penalty cases. On top of that, he has to enter a written order that the Supreme Court will review immediately. It's like a law review. It's like a law bar test, really. And the judge has to justify under the law whether there's a death or a life sentence. And I think in that regard, Florida does a very good job of determining which cases are really appropriate for the death penalty and which aren't.
Have you come across many cases, either trying them yourself as a lawyer or being on the bench, that you saw that a judge overruled a jury, especially in a capital case?
Very rarely will a judge overrule a jury in a capital case. And if the trial judge does overrule the jury, it's going to get really strict scrutiny from our Supreme Court. And like I say, they do an excellent job of ensuring that those cases where there is a death penalty are justified both under the facts and under Florida law, all of it.
So of course, juries don't exist in a vacuum. They are part of a larger system, and especially if you're talking about going to individual judicial circuits in the state. We did a story a couple of weeks ago. Our reporter Regan McCarthy did a fairly in-depth analysis of what do, for instance, state's attorney's offices and public defender's offices in the same circuit get allocated by the state legislature. And it turns out that in general, state's attorneys get about double the budget statewide that public defenders do. But the interesting thing that Regan came across from both sides and in various circuits, we did Live Oak, we went to a deliberately small rural circuit, and then we went down to, I think it was Broward County, and asked them as well. And they said, we have the same problem, which is, A, we can't pay a lot from the state. So we lose a lot of lawyers when they get good to private practice because they can make a lot more money. And you told me off the air that was – you went the opposite direction. You were doing a nice job as a private practice lawyer and then felt a duty to public service. So – but a lot of people go the other direction. And so what the people were telling us is we can't get anything but – relatively inexperienced legal practitioners on both sides. And so you've got fairly green lawyers from both the public defender's office and the state's attorney's office going against one another in cases. And so here's the jury, which in most cases has no legal training whatsoever, trying to learn the facts of a case from relatively rookie lawyers. And this would seem to present a host of problems in terms of the average person walking into a courtroom and trying to become enough of a legal expert in a very short period of time to be able to decide a case fairly.
Well, you've hit on a number of things. First of all, when someone graduates from law school, they're ready to pass the bar exam. They're not really ready to try a case. When they go to the public defender or they go to the state attorney's office, they're the two best places to learn how to try a case. They start out in misdemeanor court. DUI, simple battery, failure to curb your dog, whatever. And they learn in the county court system how to try a case. And then when they get to the point where they're sufficiently proficient, they're moved up to the circuit court where they try felony cases. I think public defenders and state attorneys use the same thing. Our problem, both of us, is that by the time they've been working for us 3 or 4 years and they finally learn what they need to know to be a really good trial lawyer, the civil firms offer them a lot more money. And retention is the biggest problem that we're facing right now in the state of Florida, I think.
So what does that mean for the jury system? I mean, this is – we should say, first of all, this is not a problem that's specific to Florida. This happens all over the place. But we just happen to have numbers that we recently culled in our newsroom about Florida. Is there something – you talked to me off the air about training you do for lawyers who come to the state attorney's office, and I know the same thing goes on in public defender offices as well. Is there some amount of training that is necessary or even possible for jurors as well to try to bring everybody's level up a little bit?
Usually jurors are – when they first appear for jury duty, they're placed in the room and there is a video that gives them some beginning understanding of what their purpose is there and what they're doing. I don't think that there's any way that you can really educate your jurors beyond that. The judge's job is to instruct the jurors on what the law is. The lawyers, during their closing arguments, have a chance to argue that law to the jurors, and basically that is what they make their decision on.
We have just a couple minutes, and in so doing, before I let you get out of here, I want to ask you a question that I've long wanted to ask a lawyer. And I'm going to ask you, don't quote the Constitution to me in your answer. I'm going to give you that one qualification. And this and the question is thus. Right now, to be a juror in Florida, as in many other states, there are not a ton of qualifications. You have to be 18 years old. You have to live in the county where you're about to try the case, and you have to have some sort of state-issued ID card that allowed you to be in the jury, first of all. That's it. That's how you become a juror. Without – again, without quoting the Constitution and saying something like you have to be in a jury of your peers – is it logical that most people are qualified to serve as jurors? I mean, can we say there needs to be more scrutiny on who gets to be in a jury and should there be more qualifications put on jury pools to see that the most qualified people are dishing out justice?
Well, we're back to the earlier discussion about having a broad base of the community. I'm not sure that we could do that. I know that we have broadened the jury pool and going to the driver's license thing. And really, once again, you're left with the jurors doing that final – I mean the attorneys doing that final culling of the jurors to find those six that would be best suited to try that case. If you have someone who is highly opinionated, I don't think either one of those lawyers wants to take a chance on that one. Or if you have someone who is very disinterested, those lawyers don't want that one.
Let me put it a different way. What if you have someone who's highly educated?
Well, some cases you want someone who is highly educated.
Why don't you want that in every case though?
Well, I'll use my neighbor for an example. My neighbor is an engineer. Engineers are very, very smart people, yet they have a very set way of looking at at life, you know, and that's not always how life is. And so, you know, you're looking for this kind of case, you want this kind of a juror, and that kind of case, you want another.
So let me give you a chance in 30 seconds or so. I'm giving you a magic wand. You're taking that magic wand to the jury system in Florida. Do you do anything with it? Is there one change you'd like to see that you think would make the process work better?
I couldn't put my finger on any one change because I really haven't seen that our system is broken. I have seen hundreds of trials, and I think by and large our jury system does a very good job of coming to a fair and just conclusion. Sometimes there's a pardon involved, sometimes there's not, but yet it's always there for the jury to make that decision. And I don't see that we have a problem that really needs to be addressed at this point.
All right. Well, Glenn Hess, Panama City State Attorney, thank you so much for coming in. It's been a pleasure talking to you and we appreciate your time.
Welcome.
This has been It's About Florida on WFSU. You can find this program archived on our website at WFSU.org. Technical assistance for the show is provided by Taylor Cox. Please do join us again next month for another live show. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Have a nice evening.